But so today I'm going to give you another scripture reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18, because it is the first Sunday of Advent. I did preach this verse last Advent for week 1, but it is a different sermon. I don't know if anybody would notice or not. I don't know. But we're going to read the verses here. And again, I invite you to join me in your Bible if you have one. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And he came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. And he was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. And the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. And he came to his own people, and they did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness about him and cried out, "This is he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." Amen. Lord, as we go into your word this morning, God, may your Holy Spirit convict our hearts and our minds, God, to be the disciples you have called us to be in Christ Jesus. Amen. So the sermon is simply the Word. The Word became flesh. Again, it's the first Sunday of Advent. And again, by far, I say this to a lot of scriptures, it is one of my favorites in the Gospels. It's where good theology comes alive. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when we look at the American church, and we look at the church as a whole, we are striving after what feels good. Like we call this postmodernism, right? So we had modernism, and now we're post that. We're striving for whatever we think is right. But what Scripture tells us this morning is that Jesus was God in the flesh. Other verses tell us that he took the form of a slave servant, right? Our God, the God of the universe, didn't come as a powerful king and ruler, but as a baby, right? And we're going to walk through that through the Advent season up to Christmas. But the point here is Jesus is the way, the Word, God in the flesh, is the way, the truth, and the life. And no matter what the world tells us out there, there's only one truth, and that's found here in summary in the first chapter of John, right? that the world did not know him. Now, Jesus came to us this morning and sat in our pews at First Evangelical Lutheran Church of Gray Manor. The question is, what would we think of Jesus? Right? I mean, he probably would smell a little, he'd look a little different. So I love Christian art. So if you go in my office, I have little icons of different saints of the early church, right? And I ordered one for Christmas off Etsy. They come right over from Greece, of Jesus. And one of the pet peeves I have is a Jesus that has blue eyes and white skin, right? Like, I am not a fan of those Jesus paintings because that isn't what Jesus looked like. Because I believe we have tried to take what we think about God and Jesus in particular and put it on Jesus in our artwork, in our paintings. It's not really Jesus the man, right? Was this Middle Eastern man, right? Born in a manger. Really simple. Now, most of us are born in hospitals nowadays, but I could just think back of, like, my grandfather was born in a shack in Louisiana, Missouri, right? By his grandpa. I mean, anybody born in a shack in here? Anyone else? No? No, I guess this place was too modernized by the time that happened, but not in Missouri, right? The point is that Jesus is not who we want him to be. Jesus is who he is, who God wanted him to be, right? So when you think of your Christian artwork, I want you to really think about the Jesus, especially if you got paintings in your house. I'm not telling you to throw them in the fire. But if Jesus were to come here and sit in a pew, what would we think? Truly, what would we think? Would he be welcomed here? I hope so. I would believe so. But would Jesus be welcomed? Jesus is the truth of the Advent season, of the world that we live in. And somehow we have to have hope that the church will get back to Christianity 101 during this Advent season, that we remember, now this sounds cliche, the reason for the season, right? That it's not about all the stuff, it's not about us, man. And Christmas is stressful in some ways, at least for a pastor, let me tell you, right? You got all these services you got to prepare for, and you know, somehow you get to squeeze some family time in there. But the reason for the season is Jesus. I mean, if we just go back to simplicity, and the church is so polarized in some way, but I would like to hope, since our candle's hope this morning, that the church can be united during this time, this season. So let's look at the word. What does the word even mean? Right? And so if you look at the Greek, it means everything. God is everything. Jesus is everything. Simply what it is. The Logos, right? That without Jesus, the world that we know would not be here, right? From the beautiful mountaintops, right? To the oceans down in Miami, Florida. None of it would exist without God. He created it, right? And what does it say in Genesis, right? We go through the creation story, and then he says this, and we will make man in our image, right? Jesus was there in the beginning in the garden. So warts and all of us was made in the image of God. Everyone here is a child of the King of the universe. You are all special in the eyes of God. You are all here for a purpose in the eyes of God, right? And especially, I've heard people that are especially in their upper 90s, and they don't know why the Lord has kept them here for so long. And my only response is, I'm sure is your response as well, well, I guess your job is not done here yet, right? God has a job for you to do while you're still here. We see God's redemption throughout Scripture, from the creation story to the punishment of Israel, to the grace given to Israel, to the flood. My goodness, it's hard to even see God's grace in the flood. I mean, all of a sudden, he just wipes the whole world away, right? And then he gives us the rainbow and promises us that he will never flood it again. But then we fast forward to Revelation and we find out how the end of the world is going to take place, right? But it is God's grace. We were a sinful generation of people, and he kind of pressed the reset button on us. So I always wonder, how close are we to needing that reset button? If we were to compare us to the people in the flood, does anybody have any idea? What do you think? I think we're worse, because he said he wouldn't flood us again. So, you know, here we are. So what does that mean? That means us Christians, we have to go back to Christianity 101. We have to begin to disciple people in the faith. We have to begin to show love and forgiveness to people that hurt us and did us wrong. And I understand that's hard. We have to move forward as a people of God. So finally here, keep sure I'm keeping track of my time. First point here was Jesus was there from the beginning, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God in the beginning, and everything came into being through the Word, and without the Word, nothing came into being. Now say that three times fast. And what came into being through the Word was life, and the life was the light of all people, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness then does not extinguish the light. No evil on this earth can distinguish the love and mercy of Jesus Christ. Believe that, friends. Nothing. There's a lot of evil in this world. Lots of it. But Jesus is here. I mean, I've been into some pretty wicked places, and Jesus was still there. I mean, if you really want a good understanding of this, like in this world. So I know you guys know I'm from South Louisiana, so I got to talk to you about South Louisiana. And thank y'all that like the Cajun Night Before Christmas. I did grow up with that story and Papa Noel. So Santa does have alligators. But anyway, if you go down to downtown New Orleans and you go to the St. Louis Cathedral, raise your hand if you've ever been to St. Louis Cathedral. It's beautiful. They have no indoor plumbing at that church, by the way. And they pack the house every Sunday. Multiple masses. And then you have the Cabildo and the Presbytery, right? The Spanish capital and the French capital. So, but you go right around the corner, and there's voodoo shops. You can go and get witchcraft items, right? And in fact, late at night, you can get your tarot cards read right in front of the cathedral, right? And you have this beautiful, beautiful Catholic church. I mean, and you have all this kind of evil things. I mean, I've been had spells cast on me by some of these people when I was in my early years of college. So there is evil, but God overcomes it. And I was told by the people that we were out there with ministering that as long as I'm doing God's will, they can't touch me. And I believe that. So God is there. Nothing can extinguish the light. So again, let me go back to what I'm supposed to be saying here. And when God began to create the heavens and the earth, Genesis 1:1-5, the earth was without shape or form. It was dark over the deep sea, and God's wind swept over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And so light appeared. And God saw how good the light was. And God separated the light from the darkness. And God named the light day and the darkness night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Right? God spoke it and it happened. And his word stays true today. If God speaks it, it happens. Again, it sounds cliche, but it's not always our timing, right? It is definitely God's timing. And we have to accept, do we believe, like a child, God can take Play-Doh and form it into what he wants, the formless void of the earth, and put it in perfection, or we don't? We have to understand that for ourselves. Do we believe that God can truly do what he wants? That he is all powerful and almighty? I mean, let's think about the earth, right? We're just far enough from the sun. We're just far enough to have life. Do we believe God's word for what it is? Or do we know best? So you guys know I'm a history guy, right? So there's an early heretic in the church, heresy in the church called Gnosticism. All right. And Gnostics believe this: God gave them special revelation, and whatever that was. So God came to them personally, told them something, and it would trump what the Bible says. Now, have we ever seen this in 2021? Right. Been there, done that. Right. We have to look to our past. So the Gnostics believe this, and obviously it's crazy. But we have Christians today that do the same thing. God's word stays true forever. Genesis 1:26. Again, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and they will rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, and all the earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth. So God gave us authority on this earth, friends. And that authority comes from his word, the Bible. So if we don't read the Bible, we don't have authority in that way. We don't understand it. So if you haven't been reading your Bible, no judgment, right? But all right, I want you to take a look at this. So what I'm asking is, if you have a struggle reading the Bible, you see John here? Look how much is left in the Bible. We just started John. Now, tell me you guys can't read that much, right? Just read through John, through Revelation. It's not that much to read. Read God's word. Start with John. It will tell you so much about faith. It'll tell you so much about who you are as believers of Jesus. So next verse, right? 9 through 14. And the light shines on all people that was coming into the world, and the light was in the world, and the world came into being through the light. But the world didn't recognize the light. How many people do you know that don't recognize Jesus? They don't recognize. You could tell them till you're blue in the face, but they don't. They don't understand what you're talking about. They don't want to know. They don't want this whole religious thing, right? They're done with the church. I posted an article on Facebook last night, The Duns. There are so many people that are done with church. So when I was at that wedding down in Florida, I tried my best to when I had my collar on, I was the officiant, right? And when I took it off, I tried to be just friend, right? They know me as Ricky. They've been knowing me forever. But of course, I had multiple people come up to me, and some of them, it was pretty nice things. Like one of them told me, hey, if you had a church here, I would go, right? That was a nice saying. But some of them came up and shared with me. I was told by the Colombians that were there, you're the coolest priest we've ever known, which was great. which was great. And they started to share their hurts with the church they grew up in and the pain, and that they haven't been back to church. They haven't seen somebody with one of these on their neck in years because they were hurt, right? They're done. And the truth is, it's because the Jesus they know and the Jesus of the Bible sometimes contradict. They were hurt. Anybody ever been hurt by church, by religion? Yeah. If you haven't been, God be the glory. God be the glory. There are so many out there that have been hurt by organized faith. And you know what? It also tells me, if you have been hurt and you're here this morning, thank you, right? Thank you for sticking through it and allowing the Holy Spirit to create healing. But there are so many people that are hurt and have not come back to church. So we need to be able to receive those people and the love on them. And we do this in verse, again, our second point here is he became flesh. Jesus became flesh. So he became flesh. He felt our pains, our hurts, right? He was nailed on a cross. We know all of this. We're going to go over that through Lent and Holy Week. Right? We're in Advent now, and I know I'm over. I have a hard time with that. But God is so good, right? He was hurt like us. He became flesh. So I want you to think about those hurting people. You're going to spend time, you have spent time at Thanksgiving with your family, and now you're going to have Christmas coming up, and you're going to spend more time with family, more than likely. What about those family members? Do you have anybody in your family that needs Jesus, that's been hurt by church? How can you minister to them? Love on them, right? I'm not telling you to push your faith on them. I'm telling you to let the Holy Spirit work through you. Let the Holy Spirit work through you. Jesus became flesh. Whatever they're going through, he went through. That's the point. He became flesh. I'm just going to skip through here to my third point. And that is simply Jesus saves, right? Jesus saves us, friends. It says here in verse 16 through 18, from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. Right? And what is grace? Grace is, there you go, unmerited favor. You're good. That's a better definition than I had. Right? It's favor, yeah, that we don't deserve. We didn't earn. We didn't do anything for it, but God gives it to us. And then it continues. As the law was given through Moses, so grace and truth came into being through Jesus Christ. Grace of God, right, came through Jesus Christ. He knew we would mess up. He gave us the laws. Now, I'm going to tell you, you go back to the Old Testament, and you look through the laws, you say, you know, those are all good things. All of those things in the laws were to help us be healthy, loving people. Then it goes continue. No one has ever seen God. God, the only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made God known. Again, each of us this morning are subject to the law of God. We just are. We're born that way. We're subject to the law. Again, it has nothing to do with us personally. God isn't singling us out. He has his law, and that's what it is. And then we are given freedom through Jesus. Matthew 12:36 tells us this. I tell you that people will have to answer on judgment day for every useless word they speak. Friends, there is going to be a judgment day, right? There is. Like, there are some preachers, they fixate on hellfire brimstone, right? I don't fixate on it. But is it real? Does it exist? Absolutely. Can't avoid it. We deserve the wrath of God. But we have to get out a free jail card, right? We're going to be held accountable for our actions, But at the end of the day, I will be in glory with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I will be with my family and friends because I have Jesus. So hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He made himself flesh and dwelt among us. That's the good news. He saved us. So as a church, as the church, we have to be faithful. We have to hear the Lord and allow him to guide us. We have to hear the truth that Jesus conquers evil in this world. In Matthew 9:35-38, it says this: Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. And when he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." So let us, as the church, right, go out and be harvesters of the field, to be the workers that Jesus calls us to be in our places of fun, work, right, whatever it may be, within our own family. And I've told you this before, there's family members that, you know, I tried to teach Jesus to them and love on them, and then like the day after, they at least took me off Facebook. They didn't want to talk to me anymore. But I have an excuse. I say, I do this for a living. I have to talk about it, all right? Jesus became flesh. And lastly, I close with this this psalm. And I know you guys have heard me recite it before. I've recited it to the council. And it is this. It's simply, "Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain." Right? Let the Lord build this house, the First Lutheran Church, to love on the people, to be Jesus's hands and feet, God in the flesh. So if Jesus were to come here on Sunday morning and sit in a pew, he would be loved and cared about like everyone else. Right? When you do for the least of these, you do for me. Right? When I was in prison, and so on and so forth. And the disciples said, "Well, you were never in prison." Well, when you took care of the prisoner, you took care of me. So this Advent season, I encourage us all to think beyond ourselves, to accept the words of Jesus and be his feet to the world. Amen. Almighty God, use these words. Use your words from John to teach us, to minister to us, to help us be love to a population of people, some that feel hurt, disillusioned with the church. God, to bring faith to family members who don't know you. Help us this Advent season, especially this Sunday, give hope to the world. Amen.